Hi there, Path into Product listeners. As product people, Ash and I love feedback from the humans who use our products, and that means you. Please take a minute to click the link in the show notes for a short survey or email us at pathintoproduct@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, receiving your feedback, and listening to your ideas on how to improve. Now, back to the show.
I think it was the combination of having that person opening the door for you, but you also just doing that proactive work, implementing things like you are kind of visualizing where you're going, but you're practicing now. You're just preparing yourself for that moment. And that anticipation, I think that was the critical part for me.
This is Aaron and Ash. You're listening to Path into Product, a show for students and professionals considering product management as a career. We interview actual product professionals and share their insights and tips for getting into the rewarding career that is product management. Welcome back to Path into Product. Tonight we are here with Gretchen Rodriguez, who is head of product at Prago Next, and she is bringing with her 5 years of product experience. Welcome, Gretchen. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you both for the invitation. I'm looking forward to tonight's conversation. This is going to be fun for sure.
Yeah, we hope so. We hope so. We're looking forward to it too. We'll start out with a really simple question, and that is, what is product management?
It took me some time to realize that product management can be applied to everything, and therefore seems like product management is everything, right? I think we all do product management in our daily work, because you definitely need to touch different areas of the business. Not only, of course, the user voice, but also the research and deal with your stakeholders, with legal, with the engineers. So in one way or the other, you are touching product management all the time. So in theory, it's just managing a product. Some people call it just being the product manager as the CEO of the company. I definitely don't enjoy that. I think that's a huge way to tell it, but I definitely think that it's everything. It's from the ideation of a product, from an idea, conception, how you build around, how you bring people, how you influence them to come and work with you, to build something for you. Because what is interesting in product management is that you don't, like, people don't report to you, but you need to influence them, no? In all the areas, you need the technical lead, you need the analytics, and just the way that you tell the story and the way that you bring them and you make them fall in love with the problem, that's the only way to kind of entice them to and become your allies, no? So yeah, I think it's everything. Product management is everything. It depends on who tells the story, but definitely we all do it in our day. Yeah.
Yeah, I love how you say that, and it has so many applications. I mean, before we started recording, we were just talking about how to apply product management thinking to parenting, right? With little kids. Yes. you brought up the metaphor of the CEO of the product. And it depends on which thought leader you ask whether they love or hate that metaphor of a product manager as the CEO of their product. And you've kind of touched on a couple points here, but help us understand a little bit why is that metaphor even a thing, and what are its complications?
Yes, I think it's kind of the easiest way to explain the role. Again, it's because explaining the role can be complex because each person has an interpretation of the role. So when you say it's the CEO of the product, everybody knows what a CEO is or what she or he does, but it's kind of an easier way to connect the dots. But in theory, it's because you definitely know what you want to build. You need to bring people aboard. You need to have the budget, manage the budget, manage the engineers, et cetera. It's kind of you're leading the vision. That's why I don't necessarily agree, because the real product management is not about that. It's about the user at the end of the day. So you should be the person that is championing the user. You should be the person saying, hey, this button is not clear, or people will not understand this. Or even deeper, you should be the person that comes to the conversation and say, hey, you know what happened? Users are scared of buying, let's say, expensive items because they might not arrive on time. And that's why you need to be sure that you explain everything in terms of shipping and convey that trust. So it's almost like become obsessed with the user and try to bring the user to the conversation all the time. So that's why I don't necessarily like that correlation, because the CEO is probably always a more, or at least busier on other issues, no, running the business, on running everything in general. But the reality is that a product management, yes, you need to be sure that the what is happening, you need to be sure that people know what to do, but your main concern should be about bringing the voice, the user, to the conversation, and be sure that everybody follow that.
Yeah. Well, Gretchen, you have given us so many nuggets to dive into already.
Yeah.
We are so excited to dive into those. Before we do that, though, we would love to get into your story and understand how you got into product management. So Gretchen, would you tell us your path into product?
Yes, definitely. For me, it was a journey in terms of discovery, right? Like, it was the same time that I moved to the US. I moved to the US in 2013. I was living in Spain before. I was actually doing product management in Spain, but I didn't know that there was a beautiful title for what I was doing, right? Like, it's a common thing. Then you come to the US and everything has like fancy names and fancy frameworks, and you feel like, oh my God, I should know about this. And guess what? You already know about this. You just need to put a name to what you know, right? So I came to the US. I started to learn the language, actually. It was my first thing, the first year. And I was, after that year, I was, okay, what am I going to do with my life in terms of the professional career? And I'm like, who am I? It was a question that was recurrent all the time. Like, who am I? What am I doing? I wish I were a doctor. I wish I were a lawyer, because like, it will be just focused on finding that job and everything. But having that mapping exercise of what I was doing before to what I needed to do here, what I wanted to do, it took me a lot until I realized, just reading one of the jobs application, one of the thousands that we all apply for the first time when you come to the US, I said, well, this is what I want to do. This, when I was reading the description of the product management position, I said, okay, this is exactly what I want. And it looks like this was what I was doing before. But then that's when the big challenge came, you know, the title and the opportunity, like who was going to be that person or that company that will say, hey, yes, come here, do what you know, et cetera. I remember I had a very rookie situation because I saw a position in one company and it says you need the Scrum skills. And by that time, I that was the only thing that I didn't know. So I remember applying, and my cover letter, I say, I know everything except the Scrum. And I'm like, okay, that's actually one important part. No? So that helped me to realize, well, I probably need to start understanding what is a product owner. I need to probably get the certification. I need to probably go back and start doing something close to what I need. I need to connect with people. Just knocking the door, someone will open that door for me. So what happened is that it was easier to enter at eBay as a marketing person, because what I was doing in Spain was just building mobile apps. So for some reason, there was kind of a correlation with marketing there. So I said, okay, I'll take the opportunity. But the first day, the first week, I said, I need to find that person on eBay that will help me make the jump. So I immediately identified one person that was my manager at the last time, the last months that I was on eBay. And I say, hey, we were in a meeting, right? And I saw the way he talked and everything. I'm like, I love how he expresses the idea. He's a product manager. You know, you immediately feel like I want to follow that path. So I reach out and say, hey, this is what I want. And he said, you know, it's not going to be easy, but let's start with that. So what I did is that I worked with him very closely and I started to apply all of the concepts to the marketing world. Just doing stand-ups in my marketing meetings with my team, just creating a backlog, just trying to literally chase everybody in the product team to see what was that product each thing that I could do, a marketing campaign, an email with some logic insight, something that could help me to tell the story after. And I continue chasing the opportunity outside of eBay because I thought maybe there was a chance there, but it was very difficult for someone to say, yes, come here, no? So I realized suddenly I probably need to stay here and make my switch at eBay and then see what else is coming. And after 3 years, it took me 3 years, the same person that helped me at the beginning helped me at the end too. So he called me once and said, hey, are you still chasing this? I'm like, yes, 100%. He said, well, now I'm in a leadership position. We're hiring for international expansion. We need a person with your profile. And do you want to come? I was literally crying on the phone. I'm like, okay, this is what I was needing. Like this, I only want the title. I only want to be closer and have a group of engineers and people to work with. So I ended up joining the team as a senior product manager immediately. And it was amazing. And the welcoming of the team, they all knew my story. I said from the beginning, I've been chasing this for 3 years. So I am grateful. I will embrace it. I will live this. So that was an immediate connection. And I think it was the combination of having that person opening the door for you, but you also just doing that proactive work, implementing things. Like you are kind of visualizing where you're going, but you're practicing now. You're just preparing yourself for that moment. And that anticipation, I think that was the critical part for me.
Wow, this this is so fun. I have so many questions about this. I want to go back to that moment where you were reading the job description, you know, one of the thousand, right? And you read that and you thought, yes, this is what I want to do. Yeah. I have two questions about that. One is, how did you know that based off that job description that that's what you wanted to do? And why did you want to do that? So how did you know and why did you want to do that?
Yes, that's the thing, that I'm a computer science engineer, but I've always been developing my career more into the strategy, into business in general. So that part, when it says like just manage the backlog and prioritize and being able to create products just to be sure that users will love, particularly those words were the ones that I said, this is what I want. Just because I see a product manager as that connection between the technical part and the business. Of course, there are other phases. It's the analytics, it's the, I don't know, QA, all of that. But the first immediate connection is that business with the development. That moment when you are able to explain to the stakeholders, the business people, hey, this is what we're going to build, and this is going to give us or to bring us 10,000 users per month. And they say, okay, I'll sign the check. That moment is like, wow. Because you are just putting two parts to talk together. The engineers are probably focused on that, while the business is focused on just trying to bring the money. So when you connect those bridges, those points, it's just fascinating. And the opposite also happens. And this was a practice that I did with my team, my engineering team on eBay all the time. I was going back to them every time that we shipped something and I said, hey, I pulled my data and everything. I went buy some pizza in the middle of the noon and say, guys, see the impact of what you're doing. This feature that you launch is bringing 10,000 new users. It's bringing this GMV. It's here is what the users are saying. You guys are amazing, because it's true, right? Like how you connect those two pieces is fascinating. You just need to make people realize that what they do is awesome, but it's even better if there are multiple parts together, right? The 1 + 1 = 3, I believe a lot in that.
Yeah, I love how you say that, sort of that connecting of the dots, right? The connecting bridge there and helping developers see their impact, right? And that's really, really cool. And I also wanted to ask, you also had a moment where you thought, maybe I should leave eBay and try to find a product position somewhere else, or maybe I should stick and try to transition in eBay. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that decision. And I'd also want to know, what role did you have immediately before you were a product manager?
Yes. So, yeah, well, like I said, I noticed, I knew what I wanted to do, but I realized that it was not going to be that easy, you know? So during that time, I had a lot of moments where you feel empowered, when you feel like I'm not going to make it, or yes, you know, it's a roller coaster. So I tried multiple times. I knocked a lot of doors. Let's go here. Oh, but you don't have the experience. Oh, but maybe you need more experience. Or I'm like, yes, but how can I get the experience if I don't get the chance? No, it's the same egg and chicken game. So, and then I suddenly realized, you know what? I just need to master the e-commerce world. If I master it, I might come with that. And then if it's not at eBay, it's maybe another e-commerce, but I can come and say, okay, my next step is product. And then that's when I realized maybe it makes sense to stay here, try to build a network, try to continue knocking the door, trying to shadow product managers. That was literally what I was doing. Like, every time that someone talks and say, I'm a product manager, blah, 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 I'm like, wow. You know, I was feeling like someday I will get it, someday. And just that persistent, I think that's that was a realization moment for me. And what I was doing before was more in the that intersection between marketing and business. We were literally running all the business for Latin America for more than 45 countries in 3 different languages. And we were at some point doing marketing product, because we needed to just create some specific requirements to enable new payment options, just guest checkout, fight for the guest checkout to be enabled in Latin America, build a case to launch, let's say, business gift cards as a way of payment in Latin America where the bank penetration is so low. So all of that, I use it as an excuse to keep pushing to build my portfolio into a product, no? To be connected to the product people. But yeah, that was kind of my realization at that moment.
Gretchen, this is amazing just to hear this story, hear the perseverance, hear the deliberate decisions that you made throughout. It's wonderful. One of those deliberate decisions, as you were talking, was you said, I wanted to find a person at eBay to help me make the jump.
Yeah.
So tell us about why you decided to do it that way, find a person to help you, why you thought that was important, and then what they did, what the steps were that they did to help you make that jump.
Yes. So one thing that I realized when I moved to the US that is probably a little underrated in our countries is the power of the networking. It sounds like a cliche because everybody talks about that, but it's real. I experienced that myself. I got a lot of leverage when I was able to connect with people, not only to find a job, but to move. Every time that I have moved from eBay to FinTech, it's all about networking. So early on, I realized, well, I just need that person inside product so I can not only know what is happening in product and come back to my team, tell the story, and hopefully find projects and excuses to work with the product team. But also, I want that person that keeps me, the eyes of the reality. Like, remember that the perception of the product management was something that I had in my mind, but I was not sure how it was in the reality. I knew it by the book. Based on books, based on frameworks, based on the product owner certification that I did with Agile. But the reality is different. The daily work is completely different. So I said, I just need that person where I can ask, okay, what is happening? Anybody is launching the new homepage. Okay, what are you guys literally doing? Or let's hang out and show me what you're doing a normal day. So that will help me to connect what I had in my mind with the reality. And I think that keeps me going all the time. So that person, every once in a while, I'm texting him like, thank you saved my life. And he's like, what? Stop saying that. But it's real. I was, I don't know how to say, but I was in such a miserable moment. Like, you know, when you know that I want this, but you feel like I have tried everything and you are not able to get it. And I was like, I can't believe it. I just need that chance. He gave me that chance. So every, I don't know, 2 months, 3 months, I remember that and I write to him. So what he did was just trust and say, hey, you know what? I know you. I know you want to do this. He said, I know you have some blind spots, Gretchen, like with the engineering, with how to create user stories. You have never done this in the reality, but I trust you. So that was enough. And you know what I did also was to try to bring something back to him. So I realized that the analytics part was probably not the strongest part that the product team had at the time. So I was very sharp in terms of business analytics and all of that with frameworks and Tableau and how to put data and show the numbers, because that's what I was doing in business. So what I did is I should give something back to kind of make their story powerful, where I learned on my end, so we can kind of go together, because that's for me the second principle. The first one, like I said, it's more about networking, but the second is networking with intention and giving back. I think I believe a lot in that moment where you just share an article with someone, when you just proactively, I don't know, say, hey, here's a way to do things. There is a new framework. So that has helped me in my career a lot. So I try to apply that in that relationship. And today he's my hero, to be honest. He's the person that has helped me to see the life in a different way. And I will always be grateful for that.
Gretchen, I just love what you're saying. It's resonating with me so much, because I remember you said such a miserable moment, right? And you look at all these PMs and they look like they're so amazing and they have everything together, and you just kind of have starry eyes and you're looking at them saying, you're so awesome. How do I be like you? Like, and I remember I also had that miserable moment, right, in my career. And I was like, how do I just transition into that? And leveraging that network, I think that's beautifully, beautifully said. I really like that.
Yes, definitely. But you know, with the years, I have also realized that miserable moment, that put me in the place that I am now, because I can appreciate things even more. I can bring a lot of data to the conversations, because in the business world, you cannot be saying, oh, this went well, yes, we see engagement. No, you have to come with numbers. You have to come with projection. You have to say, this is what is happening now. We expect this to grow with the forecast, with the budget, with all of that. So I'm grateful because there are all of these practices that I'm bringing to the product. So it has helped me to be even stronger, no? Where you can collect and tell the story in a different way. So I just see the journey, and I always have to remind myself, this is part of the journey, no? But when you are in that moment, you don't see it with that clarity. But trust me, after some years, you will realize that it's part of it.
So I've got some more questions about this moment too. Right, you're sitting there, you have this sad moment, right? And maybe it's lots of little moments that added up together to kind of this big sad moment. And then you have the moment where you land a product management role, and now you're 5 years later. Is product management still this starry, beautiful, wonderful thing that you imagined when you were in that sad moment, or has that changed? And if so, how?
It's better. No, I think, again, like I said, I'm very, in general, my mind is a little, as an engineer, mind, you know, where I see everything like in squares. So what I like the product is maybe like 2 years ago, I was very strong in just execution, for example, just shipping features, building user stories, like having my engineering team literally just chasing me for just to solve a lot of problems. But then I moved into the fintech and I've been more exposed to the other part of the product management, which is more in terms of the strategy. It's more on the research. For instance, I was not exposed to that on eBay, the user research, more into all the product lean methodology in general, design thinking, behavioral design, as we were talking before. So with that, I found like, wow, that's actually really cool. Like, it's like endless. You are always learning something. You can always shape yourself a little more. You can step up. You can just bring the conversation, make the leadership team fall in love, make them feel like, you don't know about this, but whatever, I'll let you believe that you know about this. All of this game, I think, is fascinating. And I always ask myself, like, what else can you do? And definitely, I don't see myself in any other place. Yeah.
Yeah, I often feel the same way as I look across different career paths, different roles. And I'm like, I don't think I could go anywhere else. I don't fit anywhere else. Yeah. I love how you say that. We've talked a lot about using your network, having a mentor. You mentioned shadowing other PMs and trying to get closer and closer to them. You also mentioned going back and getting some certifications, right? Some Scrum or some Agile certifications. So I'm curious, if what would be your advice if a listener said, I have limited time, I have limited resources, and I can only choose one, right? In a hypothetical world, I can only choose one. I can only choose going and working my network and finding a mentor, or going and getting these certifications and building up my knowledge. Which one would you suggest that they choose and why?
Yes, I will always pick the network part, because that creates again, the network effect, and you will feel more empowered. You are more exposed to opportunities. You feel that you are stretching yourself, and suddenly you notice that, okay, I can get it. I have other chances, no? So I will definitely say that. And in terms of certifications, in my case, because I love to learn and incorporate new things, again, just discovering this endless universe that is being a product manager. But definitely, I will not recommend the over-engineering part. I will probably say, you know, spend some dollars in the product owner certification, the Agile product owner, the Scrum, because it gives you also the keywords that you need to use in the daily work. It gives you the general ideas of, oh, it's a backlog, it's a roadmap, what it's this, what is that. You kind of have that sense of how to talk to the engineers, and that gives you confidence. So I would say that's the first one and probably the most important one. And again, if you have time to others, you can go, I don't know, I have done UX, visual design, analytics, because I love it, and I want to feel empowered to kind of speak the same language with each of the actors that are part of the Scrum team. But it should be enough with the product owner. But even before that, networking, 100%. That's the best way to make it happen. I don't know if you have felt the same, but it's the only way, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah, networking is such a powerful tool. And I know it, particularly in Ash's case, he went and would try to buy lunch for as many product managers as he could and try to build up that network. I did not do that so much. And I think it took me a little bit longer to transition into my first product role. Maybe that was the case.
That's amazing.
So Gretchen, I love that you talk about, you use the word keywords. Previously, I've used the word like lingo or jargon of speaking the same language as the people that you interact with.
Yeah.
How did you pick that up? What did you do to learn that? And why do you think that's important?
You know, I'm always, and I bring this in a lot of conversations, the 80-20 rule for everything, no? So I think that those keywords, et cetera, with, it's just about knowing that 20% of methodologies, of ways of speaking, et cetera, that will give you everything that you need. I feel like sometimes we are so immersed because there is a lot. There are a lot of informations that are amazing number of articles and things that you can read and get lost, but you just probably need to, it's like learning a language, right? Like you probably need to know, okay, where to find a restroom, where to where to buy, where is the best pizza place, and with that you can continue and have an amazing experience. Nobody's asking you to speak Italian perfectly to enjoy a trip to Rome, right? So I think it's kind of the same at the beginning, at least. You just need to kind of have that, just provoke that mirroring moment where the other person say, oh, nice, I want to continue talking to you. I want to work together with you, because again, it's going to be impossible to learn everything, but if you are able to bring those pills of conversations that are common for the both parts, you are winning already. So in my case, I realized that very early in my life, but I apply not only product management, I apply it even across industries. I moved into finance 2 years ago. I don't know everything, but I realized suddenly, okay, I need to know a little bit about regulations. I need to know about open banking. I need to know about this and that to kind of trigger those conversations and continue further. But that's what I think. Just realize, don't get that crazy, because you will never be able to know everything, but just the basic ones are important with your designer. Okay, I probably need to know what is a model feature, what it's call to action, what is this? So, and it also, at the end, it's not only that you need to know to speak, but also you gain a little bit of respect as well, because people realize, oh, she's doing the homework. So, people appreciate that at the end.
I love that. Yeah. Golly, I've got so many questions. let me try. I've got two main ones that I want to hit a little bit more. The first one is I want to stick with this a little bit more. It almost feels like you're talking about kind of being a human chameleon in a way, where you kind of blend in wherever you go, right? Because you know the language, you know how to speak to those people, and you know how to communicate appropriately with all of them. But what that seems to tell me is that a product manager is looks more broadly than they do deep. So how is that true? Is there some depth to product management somewhere, or is it a very broad kind of career path?
I love that question. I think it's up to you. I'll bring a couple of examples. It's broader in the sense of, yes, you need to know about, as we talk, design, QA, analytics, everything, just a little bit to be sure that all the stakeholders are involved, to be sure that you get what you need at the end of the day. At the end, what is happening is that you're influencing them. They don't report to you. They will probably don't feel like a lot of love toward you, because a product manager sometimes is that pain person saying you need to do this or do that, but you need to at least bring the conversation, a little bit of that orchestration, the persuasion, the power of the persuasion. I think it's very powerful. Now that I'm reading a lot about behavioral everything, not the social proof, the all of the interesting things that happen in our brain. So that's why I think it's broad, but it's also deep in the sense of awareness. No? Like if you're talking to a designer, you probably need to understand that your tone or how you say things can be accepted with a little bit of sensitivity. Like if you're judging my work because of the color of the side, that's, you have to be careful because you can bring a little drama between the problem manager and the designer. I understand the designer has been working hours to during the night usually to bring you a mock-up, and then you come with that potential thing saying, you know, you don't like the purple, like it doesn't make any sense, right? Like, it's broader in that sense, but it's also deeper in other pieces like industry, for instance. You need to know your industry. You need to be sharp on what is happening or what is going to happen. You need to be deep on that. It's kind of another dimension. You need to go deeper into specific angles like storytelling. You need to be sure that you tell the story in a way that people fall in love, or at least you convince them. So you have to go deeper there. You also probably have to go deeper if you are a technical product manager. You probably need to know everything, your full stack, what is happening, how it connects, where to find all the documentation. So yes, and again, it's up to you. A good manager, a good product manager, I think first, understand that game, and second, it's aware, and third one is humble to realize, oh, I have a blind spot here. Who can help me? Like in my case, there were things that I didn't know about the eBay stack. There was a huge legacy. But I was working with my engineering lead, like, Nias, can you explain me what is happening here? What is this calling, etc. So you just need your crew, the crew that will help you grow, and you will grow with them. That's the key. At the end, and I'm being a little philosophical, but it's about people at the end of the day. I think that's why I love the product management, because that puts you in a position where you can actually work with people and influence and bring everybody to the conversation and bring the best of everybody. And yes, you have to be deep in that too, the human relationships too.
I love all of this that you're saying, and there's some words that you keep using that I'd love for you to dig deeper on. And these are words like persuade and influence and entice and tell the story. And I especially love, I think you said earlier, make leaders fall in love with an idea or a thing, right? How do you do that? How do you persuade people to whatever your idea is, whatever the thing is? How do you influence? How do you entice? How do you make them fall in love with the story that you're telling? How do you do that?
Yeah, there are two things that I do. The first one is to just try to be authentic. In this world, it's difficult sometimes, but I stick to that. If I have to make a joke and I feel it in the moment, I do it. So I think that conveys that, like, who am I really, or what are my intentions? The second, I always go up front and say, I don't know about this, but I think there's a great opportunity, or I need your help here. So that's a good way, particularly with the engineers, although they always come with this new use case. Have you thought about this use case, Gretchen? I'm like, oh my God, guys, no, just tell me. There's a third thing, that is the data. I do my homework. I check what is happening. I bring trends. I bring charts saying, this is growing. This industry is going in this way. We are just taking or capturing new users. Our funnel is increasing here and there. And people love that. People love to see the numbers and the impact and everything. And the four things that I do is see, also bring more the context, what other players are doing, and kind of show it in a way that, you know, create that FOMO and just create that conversation. Oh, I want to know more about this. So I would say those are the four things that I usually do. Yeah.
Yeah, I love how you say that. And I'm glad that we're not on competing product teams, because you're very persuasive. I love that you said that. Well, Gretchen, maybe one last question to wrap up here. We usually like to ask, why, in your opinion, why should someone choose product management as a career?
What I'm going to say, don't think that it's too big or something, but I have realized with the years that the product management title give us that sense of belonging, right? Where, okay, you are a doctor, everybody knows what you do. You are a lawyer, everybody knows what you do. You are a product manager, it's kind of a package. You go there.
No, nobody knows what you do.
Nobody knows. But it's the umbrella. Yay, I got the title, the umbrella, I got my badge. Now I can say whatever I want. You get that privilege, no? So yes, I think that's why the first one, you can come to a cool club where you can learn a lot of things, but at the same time, it's so critical nowadays in the companies, because there might be companies that are too technical and probably need a product manager that is a little stronger on the business part to kind of create a better culture in general, or the opposite, no? Like, you have ideas of products, but you don't know how to crystallize those. So you need a person that executes. So it's a role in demand, but also you can find the best version of yourself every day. Like, suddenly I realize I love analytics more than building user story. Great. Tomorrow you might change again to the user story. So it's, if you are aware, if you are in the present moment, you will bring the best version of you every day. That's what I think.
That's awesome. Well, Gretchen, you have been so positive and so like selling us on product management. So I want you to turn us around a little bit. I want to turn this around and say, okay, some of our listeners, why shouldn't they try and pursue a career in product management? Like, what would you say to those people?
For those that don't want to pursue?
So for those that maybe are thinking about pursuing a career in product management, but you know, from where you sit, you're a head of product right now, you've been in product management for some time. Why shouldn't people come into product management?
Yes. So there are a couple of things. The first one is, if you don't feel comfortable with changes, like with, say, what is a backlog? Your backlog is changing all the time. What are we building? Where are the requirements? I love that question, because you say, well, this is what we have now, but it can change suddenly. So just, if you don't want to deal with that, with changes, if you don't want to deal with people, like explaining or finding trade-off and compensations and all of that, don't come to the product management, I think. And third one is, if you don't want to be literally bombarded by everybody and having 1,000 tabs in your browser, don't come to product management. So I think those are the main downsides. Yeah.
Well, fair warning. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Gretchen, this I feel has turned out to be a very fun conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, your insights, and your advice. So many good things that you've said, and I'm gonna walk away smarter, I feel, just by listening to you. So thank you so much for
thank your. You. Thank you. This was great. Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. These people's stories are incredible. Each one is unique and comparable all at the same time. We hope you enjoy them as much as we do. As product managers, we are always looking for feedback. So please don't hold back. Let us know how we are doing. Before you go, please consider subscribing. Also, give us a rating. It really helps this podcast reach an even greater audience.